Secondly, we look at the reality of supernatural supplies. The reality of supernatural supplies. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water. Exodus 23:25. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. The reality of supernatural supplies. Three things by introduction. Actually, we want to know that supernatural supplies are real, and we want to know how to access it. First thing tonight is that God is a supernatural supplier. God is a supernatural supplier. The supernatural is the realm of God. Number two, God has no other means of getting things done than the means of the supernatural. God has no other means of getting things done than the supernatural means. Just like the eagle has no other means of moving other than flying or soaring. And the fish has no other means of moving other than swimming. God has no other means of getting things done than through the supernatural. And so thirdly, to be connected to God is to be connected to the supernatural in all its ramifications. When a person is connected to God, that person is connected to the supernatural in all its ramifications. To be connected to God is to experience the supernatural naturally. Having said that, we are going to look at four examples of supernatural supplies in Scripture. Four examples. Number one example is the example of water from the rock. Exodus chapter 7, verse 5 to 6. Water from the rock. 17, please. 5 to 6. He said, behold, and the Lord said, go on before the people and take with you of the elders of Israel, and your rod wherewith thou smote the river, take in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before you there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. That was supernatural. Take note of three things. Passage one. God is not limited in source as far as supernatural supplies are concerned. God is never limited in source. That is to say, God can go anywhere to get what he wants. He's not limited in source. As far as supernatural supplies are concerned, he is the God that can hide an ocean inside a rock. He's never limited. Human beings are limited. Number two, God can bring the most likable out of the most unlikely. The most likable out of the most unlikely places. The most likable supplies out of the most unlikely places. God can bring unexpected supplies out of unlikely places. He can bring supplies from that are impossible to imagine. And as I preach it right now, I am not only preaching but prophesying. Before this month is over, somebody is going to see unbelievable supplies from unlikely places. If you are the one, you will shout the loudest, amen. If you are the one, your amen will be the loudest. Take your seat, lift your right hand and say after me, my God is not limited in source as far as my supplies are concerned. Say, my God can bring abundant supplies out of unlikely places for my sake. Take your seat. Does that make any sense to you? So you stop limiting yourself. Anything can happen. Anything can happen anytime from anywhere. Number three, 1C, the voice of God is key to the supplies of God. He said, take the rod and smite the rock. Supposing Moses didn't hear that, there will be water in the rock, yet it won't come out. The voice of God is key to the supplies of God. Say that in another way. Divine direction is key to divine provision. Divine direction, divine instruction is key to divine provision. There is one thing God will tell you, and that one thing will show you where your money is. And I am here announcing to somebody, in the season of this message, God will tell you something that will connect you to your supplies. You are saying amen, say it like a believer. Take your seat. Number two. Water from the rock was number one. Feeding by the raven is number two. The feeding of the prophet by the raven. 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 2 to verse 6. And the word of the Lord came unto him. Who was that? You know your Bible very well. Who was that? Saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. See God directing the prophet to the brook Cherith, giving him a particular location and telling him that a raven will bring him food. Somebody say that is supernatural. Ravens are worse than vultures, you know that? When they say somebody has a ravenous appetite, that is a gargantuan appetite. A colossal titanic appetite. An appetite that can swallow. And ravens eat their children. Out of hunger, who will he give food to? Look at the guy there. See the beautiful baby there? Can you see how beautiful? He's as beautiful as the eagle, right? No. It's raven. Terrible guy. What does the supernatural supply of Elijah by the raven say to us? Three things or four. Number one, there is a God-ordained location for divine allocations. There is a God ordained location for divine allocations. There is a God ordained location for divine provision. Your allocation from God does not exist everywhere. It exists somewhere. God said, go to the brook Cherith. He didn't say, go to the river Jordan. He didn't say, go to the brook Kidron. It's a specific brook. Supposing the man said, brook is brook, he would be there on his own and die of hunger. Supposing the man said, water is water. Not every business is your business. Not every office has a contract waiting for you. It is not in every city of the world that you are called to prosper as an individual. There is a God ordained location for divine allocation. Number two, God knows the location for your allocation. God knows. As you are seated here now, battling with what to do to succeed in life, or what to do to move from where you are now to where you need to be, God knows the location for your allocation. Let me say that in another way. God knows the best place for your breakthrough. The best place. The best walk. The best career, the best city in the world. That is why those who took themselves to America and God did not take them, they are wasting away as reproaches there. Now we'll announce to somebody that location that God knows that you are yet to know shall be revealed to you. Maybe I'm not talking to you, that is why you didn't say amen. Maybe you already know where you are is. But I can tell you, if you are rich, you can be richer. If you are wealthy, you can be wealthier. Let me say it to somebody who is desperate. Wherever your allocation lies in this nation and in any career, my God shall reveal them to you. Shout amen like a believer. Literally, I say, I'll be going up and down like a jackass. In the name of Jesus, I shall be specific, target specific, precise, and pointed in my pursuits, because I shall know from God where my allocations are. Take your seat. Are you still following? The matter is very easy. When you are where God wants you to be, people will think you are using charm. Not knowing you are using more than charm. To say this supply is that God will use, God uses uncommon means to release uncommon supplies. He will use unpopular means to release common and unnatural supplies. Whoever hears that a raven fed a person. That is, God will use what not both common to you or common to your generation to give you supplies that are also not common.
Say that amen like a believer. It might lead you into a bit not common, into a particular endeavor that is not common, a line of doing things, a way that is not common. And people will be wondering, where did you see it? Where did you read it? Who has done this kind of thing before? But you say, I don't know, but I feel in my spirit that I need to do this. I see God leading me to do this. I just perceive this has to be done. So he uses uncommon means to release uncommon supplies. Hear me. Those who are married to tradition, they die in stagnation. Those who are married to tradition, they deliver frustration. This is how it has always been done. This is what everybody is doing. They die in frustration. They die in stagnation. They die in deprivation. But that will never be your portion. Let me tell you, don't be afraid of doing new things. It is new moves that make news. It is when people make moves that they create news. Okay, this is the equation. You make moves, you create waves, and the waves bring news. Hallelujah. He will use uncommon means. Let me give you number 4 from the raven. He said, I have commanded the raven. It is command that the raven will need to release food to anybody. You cannot advise raven to give food. It has to be a command. Did you get a point, sir? You cannot negotiate with the raven to give food. You can't counsel it. Counseling session. Say, please, there is a prophet here. I want you to assist him, give you food. How? Food, my food. How? But God said, I mandated it. I ordered it. I put him under pressure to give you the food. This is the point number 4, and it's about to happen to somebody. God's commands put systems and people under pressure to release the supplies of his people. God's commands, divine commands and instructions, put both systems and people under pressure to release the supplies of his people. That is one of the ways in which supernatural supplies happen. Ways in which you get things and people are wondering, how did you get it? God just made somebody lose his sleep, like King Ahasuerus. Made somebody lose his peace, lose his rest. They are under pressure, they are under a mandate. Until they deliver to you what God mandated them, they can't sleep, they can't rest. And I am not just preaching, I'm already prophesying. That there is somebody in this nation and somebody around your life that will lose their peace and lose their sleep and lose their rest after tonight until what is yours is released. Until your supplies are released. Shout the loudest, amen. Lift your right and say, Father, put them under pressure. Put them under pressure. Oh Lord. Take your seat. When we got the land for this church, it was first half that we got. We asked the people, the owner of the second half, to sell it to us. They said, no, they cannot sell the land except we bring so and so and so many million. It's close to 20 years ago. And they were calling plenty millions, the half. So we relaxed with the half. And built the first sanctuary here, could take like 600 or 700 people, close to 1,000, and built it here with a fanciful front and so on. And we're relaxing. We didn't bother about them again. God put the systems under pressure until they sent their representative, a man of the other religion, a confirmed member of the other religion, fully, not pretending, who attended Sunday service. Because he had lost his sleep and his peace and rest to deliver the land to the church. How much is the land? When they mentioned the price, we are not buying at that much. Say, how much will you buy? We told them the price. Say, bring money. They lost their peace. They lost their sleep. They lost their rest. Because it pertained to us. There is a ravenous human being that does not give things to anybody before, that is about to come under pressure. He's about to lose his peace, lose his sleep, lose their sleep, and lose their rest because of you. If you are a believer, you shout the loudest, say amen. Lift your hands, say, Father, put them under pressure. Oh Lord! Before 1 week is over, someone will be here testifying that they have come under pressure. They are ready to agree to your terms. They have lost their peace. They have lost their sleep. They have lost their rest. Until it is done. Somebody say a loud amen. Say the loudest amen. Say the loudest amen. Take your seat. One young man who is a pastor who submits under this ministry, he came to me and he said, sir, we're about to build church and we need so and so much amount. I think it was 9.5 million or 10.5 million, something like that, for the roof and for other things about the church. And I say, in the name of Jesus, the custodian of that money will lose his peace, sleep and rest. Until it is done. So he said he came to church one day and he was preaching. And as he was preaching and talking about the roof and how much they needed, he said he saw one young man very sitting carelessly there laughing, smiling. You know how annoying it is when you are talking serious matter and somebody is laughing. And the man was just laughing and smiling. He said he met the pastor at the end of the service. He said, sir, sorry, you were talking about the roof. How much was it, sir? Say 10.5 million. It's okay, I have a check for 11 million. Say, okay, that was the reason for the smile. Smile more and bring more. Hey! Lift your right and say, in the name of Jesus, they shall lose their peace. They shall lose their sleep. They shall lose their rest until what is mine enters my house. Take your seat. Supernatural supplies. We saw water from the rock. We saw feeding by the raven. Now we shall see, thirdly, multiplied food for the widow. The widow of Zarephath. The multiplied food for the widow. In 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 19, God continued to deal with Elijah. Start from verse 9. And when the brook dried, God told Elijah, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I beg you, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. Somebody say a loud amen.
Amen.
Somebody say a loud amen.
Amen.
I'd like you to understand what I'm about to say very quickly. First, this is a serious story of supernatural supply. Where rain was not falling, there was no planting, there was no harvesting. Yet a little cruse of oil with some barrel of meal, Elijah and the woman, based on the prophetic instruction the woman carried out by releasing that seed, they were taken from the food, and the food refused to finish. This thing happened to me and my wife while we were still young medical doctors in Jaws. I think we tithed out of that bag of rice. And we could tithe everything at that time. Up till now, we do the tithe. We tithed the rice, the bag. Then the rice refused to finish. Keep, you take from it as if it was a bottomless pit. It came to a point where we became afraid and dashed out the balance. What kind of challenge is this? Just finish first. If we have seen that it is working, the thing refused to finish. Miracle of food multiplication. I've seen it before. But three or four things I want you to see from this scripture concerning supernatural supply. Number one, that God is the source of supernatural supplies. He is the source. Systems and people are only channels. Complete it with a dash. Systems and people are only channels. God is the source of supernatural supplies. What sustained Elijah was not the brook, was not the raven, was not the widow. It was God. Second thing to note is that channels may dry up, but as long as the source remains God, the supplies never dries. Channels may dry up. A system may dry up. A job may dry up. A human being who has been helping you may dry up in his resources. But as long as the source remains God, the supplies never dry up. They never. Am I communicating at all? When the brook dried up, Elijah's supply continued. Hear this now. Whenever you make a channel to become your source, you dry up with the channel. Never make your job your source. That is why there are people who become totally helpless because job finished. Never make your job your source. Never make your uncle your source. Never make the governor or the president your source. Let God remain the source and the supply never fails. Something to note regarding supernatural supplies. Lift your right and say, God is my source. I have channels, but God is my source. I hear of people who committed suicide because some investments fail. I even heard of this something that some people kill themselves. Is that right? What a yeshua's life. You tie your whole destiny to somebody's investment platform. Your life. You hung your life on it until you killed yourself. It's master error, man. Even if you are working in NPC, I'm sure you have heard that before. NPC. Even if you are working in CBN, you are working in United Nations. Don't make them your source. There is someone bigger than United Nations. Ah, Baradaga. Pastors that are here, there are some pastors who make some members their source. Whenever that member was no longer in church, they say a major financier has left. Their ministry got arrested. The projects of church got arrested. This church we have so many responsible men and women, highly dignified, people who know God. We don't have one of them, of all the men and women here, who has ever claimed that they are the source in this church. Not one. Why? They know God. And that is the reason why not one person shifts from this church for any reason, for transfer for any reason, and the church income feels a scratch. Not one. Not one person stops giving, including this person speaking, and the church feels it. That is including the pastor speaking. Hallelujah. Someone say amen. Never make it. When I see Christians, you see, you know your weight in life 6 months after you no longer have a job. That is when you know what has really been your source. Who has really been your source? And how sizable you are. I don't care what your salary is now. If that job does not exist 6 months from now, how big are you? How you be? You will never fail. Amen. Say amen like a believer. Amen. Say amen like a believer. Amen. Say a louder believers. Amen. Amen. Lift your right hand and shout the loudest. Amen. Amen. Take your seat. Channels may dry up, but as long as the source remains God, the supplies never dry up. Finally, to be connected by covenant to God is to be connected to a source that can never run dry. To be connected by covenant to God. That covenant was the covenant of giving that the widow did. Is to be connected to a source that can never run dry. Connected to a river, an ocean that never runs dry. Let me say this. Supernatural supplies carry the power of perpetual multiplicability. The power of perpetual what? Multiplicability, multiplication ability. Supernatural. The food refused to finish. It has perpetual power to multiply. Your resources will never dry. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Say a louder believer, say amen. Lift your right and say, Father, you are my source. I want you to stand up and say it louder. Say, Father, you are my source. You can never dry up. Channels may dry, but my source can never dry. And because you can never drive, I can never drive. Take your seat. Do you remember the funny story I told you some time ago? Where one brief man, me and my wife donated money, 10,000, and gave him. Our salary was 1,200. Then it was increased to 2,400 as young doctors. And you have to eat out of it, fuel car out of it. So you know how long it will take to gather 10,000 out of such a child. So we gather such 10,000 and gave it to a man, well, young medical doctors in just then. And he said he was trading in precious stones. Topaz, in aquamarine, in carbuncles, all manner of sapphires. One day he went and said, he has bought a big stone for us. And that stone is worth over 300 and something thousand. Eh? Out of only 10,000? This thing is good, though. He came, brought one stone from his pocket. He said, this is the stone. This one will go for like 300,000. When you hear 300,000 then, it's maybe 30 million of today. Because if somebody can be on 1,200 then, or 2,400 then, and it was enough, you can imagine what 300,000 then will mean. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. When he mentioned 300,000, we tied everything in this world to that money. We'll buy a car from it, fridge from it, television from it, video. That money was to solve every problem on earth. Do you know what it means for you to have money that is not in your hand? You know what somebody was, he was deceiving himself that he has oil, crude oil business. He said he will go to the car places and price all manner of expensive cars, waiting on when the business will. He didn't. It evaporated. We tied everything in this world to that thing. Until one day God told me, if you don't forget that money, better forget that money and move on with your life. Otherwise, you are wasting. Forget me, forget that money. Okay, even if I don't get the 300,000, reform the 10,000. For where? And the guy was very brief like this. He was close to the ground. He's the type that Jesus would say, "Lo, I am with you." We had to forget the money and move forward. Unfortunately, I was looking at that money as source. I know better now. I know better since. It took me a little time to release it from my heart. But thou shalt forgive and not bear malice. Years and years later, I saw the man. He came to my office. His height has not changed. But now he came with diabetes, came with hypertension, all manner of afflictions. I looked at him with pity. What of all the money you took now? What has he done for you? I prayed for him, for God to help him, deliver him, and so on. I have not seen him since that time. Don't ever allow any source, any channel to become a source. Don't let anything kill you. Is God speaking to somebody here? You shall fulfill your days. Say that amen like a believer. Say that amen like a believer. Lift your right hand and shout the loudest. Amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Is somebody learning something at all tonight? The final one we are going to look at is the miracle at the gate of Samaria. The miracle at the gate of Samaria. And this is a very exciting one. In 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1 to 7. 2 Kings 7. Then Elisha said, there was famine in the land. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. What? It's like saying, by this time tomorrow, 1 naira shall be equal to $5. It was an impossible declaration. People were selling the excreta of dove. That is, the poo-poo of a dove was an asset. The head of donkey was a delicacy. At the same time, people had been boiling their children and eating. If you read verse 6, you remember the 419 did not start today. Where one woman said, bring your child, we eat. And after they ate the woman's child, she hid her own child. And the king put his hand on his head, tore his cloth and went to Elisha. And then Elisha was making this prophecy. By this time tomorrow, the food that has not been available at all will be so abundant, place the scripture there, that a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel, the least amount of money, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. And the Lord, whose hand the king leaned, the minister of agriculture, plus the one of special duties, and economic planning, 3 portfolios in one, Lord should open the window in heaven. How can this be? What are you talking about? And he said, behold, you shall see it with your eyes, but you will not eat it. And there were 4 leprous men, couturistic guys, at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, another, if we sit here until we die, if we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die. And if we sit in here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, then we die. You know how leprosy breaks the nose of people. The nose is broken. The eyebrows are gone. The knuckles is what you have. Like this. It destroys all the cartilages of the body. And they are moving about. Gari, gari, sugar, I beg you. Have you heard that before? So, if we sit down here, we die. If we go forward, we die. Let us go forward. Let us die forward. So they started moving. And their feeble feet, leprosic feet, crippled feet, touching the ground gently, God amplified their footsteps. And he caused the host of the Syrians to hear the sound of battle. Lepers walking. They hear the sounds of sad chariots. And they ran and fled. Left everything. Running on their way, they left their cloth, left food, left everything. When the leprosy people came to the park, said, what are we saying? Is this food? Today is a day of good tidings. If we hold our peace, we do not well. Let us go back.
They returned back to the city. The king came with the troop.
He said, no, the Syrians have set for us a trap. Let's find out to be sure that they... And they pursued them all the way. They couldn't find no Syrians. And they brought the food back to the city. Took spoils until they could carry not enough. They took too much food. The minister of agriculture and special duties and economic planning, who said that how can this thing be, was the one serving the food. The people trampled upon him until he died. They rushed at him. He saw it, but he never ate it. But the word came to pass. Something is about to happen to you.
If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. Lift your right hand, shout the loudest, amen. The loudmost, amen. Amen at the top of your voice.
Hallelujah. Take your seat. And how did I get that song? That song in our secondary school many years ago. Some guys used to move from bunk to bunk. Gari gari cubes. They're looking for gari and sugar. You drop one sugar for them.
Four things that we would know from the miracle at the gate of Samaria. Number one, by divine intervention, the economy of a people or system can turn around 360 degrees in 24 hours. Say that again. By divine intervention, the economy of a people or system can turn around 360 degrees in 24 hours. That is, God can move to a point where under 24 hours, the economy of a nation, the economy of a person, the finances of a family just changed under 24 hours. And let me say to somebody here, I am not just preaching. The story of your life, the story of your family, the story of our nation, the story of our community, the story of our commission is turning around literally overnight. Shout the loudest amen. Somebody stand on your feet and give the Lord a turnaround shout of amen. Amen. Again. Again! Again!
Take your seat. It will happen to you. If you believe it, take it with a louder shout of amen. A man met me in the office many years ago. Tall, hefty man. Was working like a third in command or second in command of a major insurance company in the country. At that time, they were at par with banks in terms of influence and relevance. That man crashed down to zero until he had no work. He had married four times. None of the wives could stay with him. He said they would perceive an obnoxious odor around him and run away. And there was not a trace of order in this man. Not a trace. He said, Pastor, see me how miserable I am. My heart went out. Please take your seat for this man. I put him on a program, prayed for him. And like we do, pick up this tape and listen to it and come back. It was the days of tape. He told me, he said, I have nowhere to listen to it. A man at such a level had no tape recorder and nowhere to listen to the tape. Well, we organized, prayed for him, got him to listen to the tape, and so on. Prayed with him and trusted God for that man's life. I forgot about him. Until one day I was coming from Lagos at the Abuja airport. Now, the day he came to my office, he was wearing slippers or palm sandals. Shirt, I think it was flying. Button up, open. Just casual. This time at the airport, I saw a tall man. He's very tall, like 7 foot or something. Hefty. Sharply dressed, wearing suit, tie, shoe. He had a book, a Smith Wigglesworth book under his hand. Was walking in my direction, full of life and light. And he looked at me and said, "Pastor, good morning, sir." And I looked at him and said, "Good morning, sir." He said, "It looks like you don't recognize me." I looked at him for a while and I recognized people instantly. I remember somebody I saw on the line here. The last time I saw him was 30 years ago in Kaduna. And I saw him on the line. I said, "Are you so and so person?" He said, "How do you know?" I said, "I remember seeing you in Kaduna in 1985. He said, "What?" But this man was transformed beyond recognition. I looked at him. He said, "Do you know me?" I said, "Yes, I know you now. What happened to you?" He said, "It's a long story." I said, "Wow. Please, let's go in my car and tell me the story." He said, "Oh, my car is waiting for me. My people, they came to pick him." Brief summary he gave me. After our encounter, a series of events, God turned his life around and they picked him back to the position. Either in a similar organization or better, where he dropped from. Everything changed overnight. There was a boy who was carrying cement on our construction site of this house. He was a boy that was just roaming about here, carrying sand and cement on his head during the construction of this building. Next time I saw him, he brought a paper for a landed document in Abuja. He said, "I brought it as a seed for you." "What are you doing?" "Property developer. Asset, what, 2 billion? Beloved, there is such a thing as transmogrification. What the young man talked about. Transformed beyond recognition. That can happen under 24 hours. And under 24 hours of this particular preaching, somebody's life is turning around 360 degrees. If you are that one, your amen will be the loudest. If you are that one, you will shout the louder, hallelujah. Shout the hallelujah 7 times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. It will happen to you. Take your seat. It doesn't take time. It takes light. And that light is coming to you now. And something is changing. Do you believe that? Yes. I can see everything turning up. Everything turning up. Everything turning up. In your finances, they are turning. Everything. Everything. In your destiny, they are turning. Everything. Everything. In every way they are turning around. Everything. Everything turning around. Give the Lord a big clap of hand. It is when it happens drastically that it is supernatural. And it's happening right now. That's the first thing you need to know. That the story of your life can literally turn around 360 degrees under 24. I told you this story that Daddy Gio told some time ago. The day he married, a young lady was meant to do this court wedding in the same place. They came, him and Mama Gio, they came, and the girl came. who is a mama now, she came, but the man that was meant to be there the same time jilted her on that day. Hello? The man disappeared, evaporated. You see, some people will do what animals will not do. If you won't marry the girl, why do you allow her to go and wait for you in the court? You agreed and told each other you are marrying till the very day before. Is it an animal? Even animal has feelings. Take your seat. She cried and as if she would weep her heart out. It didn't hold. But eventually, she got married. She married a military man, a military officer, who became the governor of a state one day. The young man who was to marry her at first was also a soldier man, who later on was posted as the orderly of the woman's husband, the one she jilted. So every time he has to salute the man, monster. And every time the woman is going to the market, morning, ma.
Women like such a reward. Stand on your feet in a loud shout of praise.
He was forced to sarate. Oh, yeah, Galaga, carry the handbag. Open the door. Let the man enter. The woman enter. Salute back. And how many of you know in the military, the husband, the wife is at a higher rank? If the man is a colonel, the woman is a brigadier in the Army Officers Wife Association.
Yes, sir.
If the man is a captain, the woman is a major. That is how they rate them. Yes, sir. Jacob, come here. Yes, ma. Okay, jilt me now. Jilt me now. I say, come and open the door. Run, refuse now. We're meant to do traditional wedding, court wedding. You run. Run now. God is going to make those who suffered you to serve you. That is a very serious prophecy. Anyone who has ever suffered you, in business, in ministry, in marriage, in any realm, they shall serve you. They shall be forced to serve you. They shall be forced to serve you. They shall be forced to serve you. Shout the loudest. Amen.
Look at your neighbor. Say, God will turn around your situation overnight. Give the Lord a praise and take your seat.
Let's go to point number two. Are you ready? God made the Syrians to hear his sound. The point number two says God uses spiritual sound dynamics. Spiritual sound dynamics to create positive physical changes. You may not understand what I mean, but you'll get it shortly. Spiritual sound dynamics to create positive physical changes. It makes people to hear something. It makes them to feel something. Something that will cause them to act according to his plan in the favor of his people. Somebody who was meant to sell a land to you can dream a dream that will introduce panic attacks. that will make him release that land in a hurry. God made Pilate's wife to dream a dream. We call it spiritual sound dynamics. They hear, they saw, they felt something that made them to act in certain ways they wouldn't have acted otherwise. Someone say amen. Amen. God is about to make the enemies of God and the enemies of the church and those who are threatening your life, they will hear something. Amen. They will feel something. Amen. They will experience something. Amen. That is going to make them change their behavior. And they are going to do for you and to you what they wouldn't have done in their senses. Shout the loudest, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, in the same way that somebody say, I dreamt I saw the pastor. And God used his face to do this and that. In the same way, they will see and dream and the opposite. Not us now, but those who need to release something for you. They also encounter something. Somebody say a loud amen. Amen. Say amen at the top of your voice. Amen. Thirdly, God orchestrates and maneuver people and systems in the spiritual to produce instant physical changes. He maneuvers and orchestrates both people and systems in the spiritual to produce instant physical changes. He maneuvers, he orchestrates, he engineers some things. For example, Queen Vashti messed up. Then the place became vacant for Esther to ascend. Am I communicating? Say maneuvering in the realm of the spirit. I see an organization, an office somewhere where God is about to counterbalance some things and do some rearrangements there. A rearrangement that is going to favor your lifting, that is going to favor your positioning. You believe that, shout the loudest. Amen. Somebody shout, do it, Lord, 5 times. Again, 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 and again. Hallelujah. Finally, on this note, drastic actions will always produce dramatic changes. Drastic actions will always produce dramatic changes. Let me put it another way. Desperate actions will always produce drastic outcomes. That was what happened for the lepers. If we sit here, we die. If we stand up and go forward, we die. It is better, brothers, better to die forward. Dying backward and dying in stagnation and dying forward, which is better. Be moving. Let's die forward. Fellow brothers, let us. Let us die forward. It was a drastic action. It produced very dramatic outcome. Do what you haven't done before. You will see what you haven't seen before. Give the way you haven't given before. You will receive the way you have never received before. Amen. I'm talking from experience. I'm talking from practical life experience. Last year, I gave more than I've ever given in all my life. I don't know whether all the offerings I've given since my life put together will amount to what was given last year. Early this year again, bam! As if you are crazy. You sow dangerously, you reap outrageously. That's practical experience. Make moves you never made before. You will see results you never saw before. That was what happened to the leper. And the move of men provokes the move of God. Until the lepers moved, God did not move. The move of men always provokes the move of God. Man must move for God to move. I see God moving for somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is somebody receiving something at all? Stand up on your feet 1 minute. 1 minute. Say after me, say, Father. Louder, say, Father. I want to do something drastic. I want to do something desperate that will give me an outcome that is drastic. What is it, Lord? Let me know what to do. I want to do something desperate. I want to do something drastic that will give me an outcome that is drastic and dramatic. What is it, Lord? Show it to me. He will show you. He will show you. And again, He will show you. Take your seat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Having said all this, my brothers and sisters, how does God bring about supernatural supplies? So that we know. God wants to give you supernatural supplies. How? In what form? Is that right? Does supernatural supply come? Number one, by divine direction and instruction. That is, God said, do this, do that. Like he told Moses to take the rod and strike the rock. Like he told Elijah, go to the brook. Like he told Peter, launch your net into the deep. By obeying such divine instructions and directions, you can experience supernatural supply. So it's by divine direction. Number two, by divine revelation. What is the difference? Direction means do this. Revelation means you saw something. Maybe you saw yourself selling pure water in the dream. Maybe you saw yourself doing this and that. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 1 to 3 shows that God can show us the treasures of darkness and cause us to connect with the hidden riches of secret places. So, revelation. Thirdly, by divine wisdom and ideas. Something is occurring to you all the time. An idea is just flourishing in your mind. By that wisdom, in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 23 to 24, Solomon excelled. Job chapter 28, verse 10, and in verse 12, the eyes of wisdom see every precious thing. All of a sudden, your mind is flooded. It's not that you saw a vision. It's not that you saw a revelation. It's not that you received an instruction, but flooded with ideas. Number four, by divine connections and contacts. That is, God divinely brought somebody into your life. Joseph was connected to Pharaoh. He changed his life. Elijah connected to the widow of Zarephath. Connection. God linking you up and making the link to become your uplink. Just takes you up. It's happening for somebody. Number five, by divine favor. By divine favor. Psalm 44 verse 3. They didn't get their land by their sword, but by the favor of God. Something around you smells favor. The last one talks about connection and contact. This one talks about door just opening. This one talks about people liking you everywhere and trying to find out what they can do. I'm suffering from that challenge. It's a positive one. Easy likability. Magnetic attractability. Everywhere. My wife is aware of it. She's suffering from it too. She said, good morning, sir. I've been watching you. Good morning, sir. Oh, hello, sir. Yes, sir. In the aircraft, man, woman, boy, girl, you are dressing so sharp, this and that. I said, see my wife. You remember her? Oh, yes, I watch her too on television. That was the challenge of Joseph. And when that thing is on you, you don't struggle to knock on doors. Doors open as you approach. I prophesy upon you, the last door you struggle to knock at shall be the last forever. Whatever is on our life is coming on your life. Whatever opens doors for us opens doors for you. Whatever gives us acceptance everywhere is giving you acceptance right now. Shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat. Divine favor. Number six, by divine orchestrations. This is where God moves on systems. He just changes things like this. And then takes somebody from the pit to the top. Like he did for the lepers at the gate of Samaria. By divine orchestrations. And finally, by divine mandates and orders. God supplies you supernaturally by putting somebody under pressure. Divine mandates and orders. He gives an unspoken order, a command to somebody, to a system. They lose their sleep, they lost their sleep, their peace, their rest. By divine mandates and orders. That happened for Elijah. Hallelujah. Is somebody gain anything at all? Are you fully awake? Is this the kind of thing to preach in the night when people are likely to sleep? Are you fully awake? Anybody sleeping near you is suffering from the infection of Mycobacterium pobacterium. The bacteria that affects tuberculosis is called Mycobacterium tuberculi. The other one is Mycobacterium leprae, the one of leprosy. The one of poverty is Mycobacterium pobacterium. It's only poverty that can make somebody sleep with a message like this. The affliction of povertitis. Lift your right and say bye-bye to poverty. Say in the name of Jesus. Poverty, you have no place in my life, in my family, in my destiny, forever. No place. Final word, keys to supernatural supplies. Keys. Key number one, passion for God. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 verse 5. Zechariah sought God in the days of Uzziah sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Passion for God. You are lost for God like Elijah. Number two, the pursuit of divine purpose. Anything that bothers God bothers you like Elijah. The pursuit of divine purpose. existing for a purpose under heaven. You are not alive just to make money. You are alive to facilitate and defend the cause of God. When you are like that, you will harvest plenty. Number three, obedience of divine instructions. Obedience. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 1 to 2. When you obey God, the blessings come over you. Genesis chapter 12 verse 1 and 2. God spoke to Abraham, called him out of his father's house, and Abraham obeyed. There may be one act of disobedience that has kept you in poverty. Maybe it's a lack of payment of the tithe. Maybe it's refusal to work for God in the church. Something God told you to do, you are refusing. Obedience of divine instruction. Number four, which is the number final. The covenant walk. The covenant walk. Because I say the last number, the sound is making noise. Okay, it's not, I'll continue. Is the sound angry that I said the number last? In that case, I'll continue. Hallelujah. I heard a funny story of a man whose wife was being delivered by a local doctor. Local medical doctor. And he delivered the first child. The doctor said, bring the lamp. The village, no light. He delivered the second one. The doctor said, bring the lamp. He delivered the third one. The man said, I won't bring the lamp again. How many children do you want her to give birth to at once? Is the lamp bringing out the children? It's not possible now. The children were there before. Hallelujah. Take your seat. The covenant walk. It is a covenant of giving and tithing. And I am going to give you 7 givings that can change your life. You know them already, but I'll remind you. 7 givings. That is 7 walk of the covenant. And these are givings that if it is possible, you factor them into your budget. Number one, the tithe. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10, bring the tithe into the storehouse, prove me herewith. Now pour you out the windows of heaven. And you have not enough room to receive it. Now rebuke the devourer. Leviticus chapter 7 verse 8. Hear men that die receive the tithe. Sorry, Hebrews 7 8. Hear men that die receive tithes, but there he received them. Of whom it is witnessed that he lived. Number one, the tithe. What is the tithe? 10% of your earnings, of all incomes, salary, gifts, anything that entered your hand from any quarter, 10% of it is called the tithe. And for business people, tithe is paid on profit. You invested 100,000 and then they paid you 150,000. The profit was 50,000. So the tithe is paid on 50,000. Am I communicating? The tithe is what? 5,000, not 15,000. Because you put in 100,000, they paid you 150. Profit is 50. Tithe is 5,000, which is the tenth of the 50. Is that correct? Number two, the first fruit. It's not clearly understood by many, but it's scriptural. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 9 and 10. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 9 and 10. Honor God, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Ezekiel 44, 30. He said, and the first of all, the first fruits of all things and every oblation of all, of every sort of your oblation shall be the priests. You shall also give unto the priest the first of your dough, that he may cause the blessing to rest in thine house. This ministry is a beneficiary of first fruits.
This year, we carried massive first fruit of the first income of this year of this church. And so and released it up. It exploded. Practice two. What is the first fruit? It's the first one. For example, someone who maybe for a long time doesn't have a job and just got a job for the first time might decide to give his first salary as a first fruit. Somebody who had a job before but just got a salary increase. He was on 100,000 before, but they now began to pay him 130,000. The increase is 30,000. That 30 is the first fruit. Am I communicating? Is the difference between what it was and what it is now. Is that clear at all? Anybody hearing, receiving the clarity, wave your hands and say amen. Amen. Number three is the free will offering. The free will offering is the regular church offering that we give when we come to church. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16, three times in a year, and all the way to verse 17. You shall appear before the Lord your God, and none shall appear before the Lord empty. Verse 17. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has blessed thee. So you give according to the blessing. If my income has increased this year, I can't continue with last year's offering. I can't be giving 5,000 naira for 10 years. God has changed my level. It must reflect in my giving. And this free will offering, which is a love offering, is an open door of the blessing. That was number three. Number four is the sacrifice. The sacrifice is what you give that is extra. It pinches you. Psalm 126 verse 1 to 5. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we are like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears, that sacrifice, they shall reap in joy. Psalm 50 verse 5. Gather my sins together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. So sacrifice connects you with a covenant dimension of walk with God. It turns around your captivities. Sacrifice can be made either by yourself. The Lord led you want to make a sacrifice, or when it is called, then you are part of the sacrifice. That's number four. Number five is kingdom promotion given. Kingdom promotion or kingdom promotion and kingdom expansion giving. Promotion stroke expansion. This is where church project is going on. You want to be involved. This is giving towards evangelism. For outreaches. The Bible said in Ezra chapter 6 verse 14. The elders of the Jews builded and prospered. They builded and they prospered. They builded and they prospered. Times of buildings are times of prosperity. Never allow constructions to be on and nothing is leaving you towards it. Evangelism. You can make money available monthly. This is for production of tracts. This is for crusades. And you can tag it like that. Kingdom expansion. Promotion and expansion given. Number five, six is the less privileged. The less privileged. Orphans, paying somebody's child's school fees. Contributing to a poor person's accommodation fee. Whatever. Changing the level of somebody lower than you, it changes your level. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. He that giveth to the poor, lendeth to the Lord. And that which he hath given, will he pay him again. Somebody say amen. Whatever you give to the poor, you have only given God a loan. And God must pay you with interest. Psalm 41 verse 1 to 2. Psalm 41 verse 1 to 2. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. What a blessing. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. He shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou will not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. Someone say aloud amen. Amen. Number 7. Is the priestly or prophet seed. The priestly or prophet's seed. Matthew chapter 10 verse 41 and 42. He said, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, Verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Genesis chapter 12 verse 2, God said to Abraham, anybody who blesses you, you are my prophet, you are my servant. Verse 3, anyone who blesses you, I will bless them. Anybody who contributes to your increase, I will contribute to his increase. And anybody who reduces you, I'll reduce you. Leviticus chapter 7 verse 8, without all contradiction, the less. Verse 7, I'm mentioning Leviticus instead of Hebrew. Hebrews 7 and in verse 8, repeatedly. Verse 7, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. That is, you are giving to an oil that is higher than you. You connect with that oil, at the same time you connect the blessing that you are giving into. Am I communicating? This, apart from the first fruit, which is occasional, that is, you give it when there is an increase or when there is a first income, all the other offerings can be made a regular part of your budget. This is my life. That is, if you have decided that maybe 20% of your income will go towards God, then you can say 10% is tithe. 2% is to be distributed as free will offering. Another 2% will go towards projects. Another 2% will go to the poor. Another 2% will go to my prophet. Another 2%. And this is a rigid monthly schedule. Then it grows from there. Then it grows from there. Am I communicating? Even if you wanted to divide 1% for the rest, but the tithe is fixed, but the others is left for you to decide how to do it. I am talking to you of a practice of almost 20 years. That is why you will never catch me in your house begging for money. Because what I am doing makes my life so stable. You know, I used to withhold on teaching on financial things so that people don't say they are looking, he's one of those looking for money too. And I realized if you don't tell them what you do, at a point they may begin to look at you like a dupe for being at such a high level and everybody else is struggling. Am I communicating at all? But your struggles are over. Your struggles are over. Can you stand on your feet with a loud shout of praise? A loud shout of praise. A louder shout of praise. Loudmost shout of praise. Did you receive something at all? There are still some people sitting. Please be standing. Can I let you know what is important about covenant practice? Is not the volume of giving, but the consistency. The fact that you are at it. Irrespective of how little there it is, you are at it. Ma? That's what makes the covenant a covenant. Nothing can call... You cannot call a goosey soup a goosey soup if a goosey is not inside. It is consistency that makes covenant covenant. Just at it. What will God feel that I am giving only 1 naira to the poor? No challenge. You are far better than those who gave nothing. And with God, actions are weighed. It's not what you did that matters most to God, but the fact that you did it and the attitude with which you did it. I have a father in the Lord. There is no amount of offering I will give him now that will scratch him. None. I mean it. No amount of offering I say, sir, this is my prophet's offering, that will scratch his income. Does that mean I should stop it? I might be tempted to think he doesn't need it. He has so much, he doesn't need it. But I need it. He may not need it from me, but I need it from him. I need him to receive something from me. I need something on him to rub on my life.
I need his ocean that does not dry to flow into my river. Sila. Is your mentality changing? You know, the change of mentality affects prosperity. They are building construction there. Your project offering for a month may be 5 naira or 10 naira or 1,000 or 15,000. And you say, what can this do for a massive project like that? It's far better than zero. I wish I can buy a trailer of cement. Start with half bag of cement. I wish I could have been able to be one of those who gave 100 million. Start with 100 naira first. Am I communicating at all? So these are the things that matter. Before the month starts, allocate money for your monthly offering. Don't be struggling for money on Sunday morning, dipping hand in the pocket like it's a bottomless pit. Calculate the number of services in a month. For those of us who do 6 services, you have 6 services times 4. If there are 4 weeks, that's 24 services. Midweek service and so on. And then altogether, I have like maybe 50 services in a month. How much am I willing to give every month? Maybe 50,000. But that is too small for somebody here. Amen. Which means my offering now is 1,000 per service. I arrange them into envelopes ahead of the month. God saw it. If more money comes, I can increase the offering. But it's already packaged. I go to church with one. I drop already in envelopes. Ahead of the month, my wife and the person attending to my accounts arranges them. And they calculate services that I preach outside town. They check the schedule of the month. So that anywhere I am going, the offering is not reduced because I'm somewhere else. Hallelujah. Is it practical enough? There is a reason for elephant size. His genetics implicated it. And he's eating. So you practice these things. And you are consistent in them. At a point, even the devil will try to mock you. See what you are doing now. Your neighbors are giving 1 million. You are giving 1 naira. You call it giving to the project. How much do you think this can do in the project? Say, devil, bastard liar. Say, I will invite you when I sign the first 100 million. I will invite you to witness the signing. It's a new day for you. Something has changed for somebody.
Well, if you are the one, lift your hands and begin to give him the praise. Give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Give him the worship. Appreciate him. Appreciate him. Honor him. Adore him. Father, we love you. Keep on worshiping him. Keep on honoring him. El Shaddai. Adonai. Go ahead and worship him. Go ahead and adore him. Worship him. Worship him. Honor him. Honor him. Adore him. Father, I give you the praise. I give you the honor. In Jesus' precious name.
How many of you saw very bright light tonight that has changed your life? I would like us, before we go into prayer and establishing these things in our life, to give God aggressive celebration. Is that all right? Help me tell 3 people around you, tell them something just happened. Did you feel it? Mike? Emmanuel? Many of you? Just very aggressive. All right, everybody sit down.
just sit down. Because I've seen so many people sitting down so that all of us can be at the same level first. Amen. Amen. Did you receive anything? I'm talking in whisper. Did you receive anything? What did you receive? Will it change your life? Very soon you will drop 10 million and it will not be a sacrifice. Take your seat. Anybody who believes God has visited you tonight, jump on your feet with a shout of praise. Shake three hands and tell them congratulations. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Listen, listen. I feel so excited and I feel so light. I feel like the way a pregnant woman feels coming out of the delivery room with a baby. She cannot remember the sorrow and the travail. I just feel like I came in here with something heavy, a mantle, and it has just dropped on somebody.
Lifeless all the some way to the hospital, blasting. Shike peke daga lagaba, lakite ke frita katuka bagada kadala paratas. Ilekwa satwa patwa shaga, lakite giverota kadaga badis. Lekite ke fite parata kazagala. Lekwa satwa patwa zanwa, likita la frita kusida kalatas. It was entering his body. Dream his spirit and went into the region of the dead. And the moment they reached the hospital, he jacked back and said, "Where am I? What is happening?"
Pastor wanted to render a young girl useless with the spirit of insanity. But when they showing her people, oh, that's who they were showing. When she came, oh. Isaka paparida, Isaka paparida, Isaka paparida, Isaka paparida.